Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It is our number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and welcome into the show. Hope you're having a great day. General at your service. Salute. At ease. There's a Jeff Kavanaugh, Brian Broaddus, and Lucius Alexander along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. You can stream us on the radio.com app. You can watch us at 105.thefan.com/DallasFanCam and the Dallas Fan Cam on Twitch if you like to get after streaming your content on that popular app. All right, we're off and running here, and Joe Witt Jr. is the Cowboys' new secondary coach. I can't remember a time in which it got this much discussion around a secondary coach hire, but it's newsworthy. He knows McCarthy. He knows Dan Quinn, and he's tasked with, you know, big job making this secondary pretty good. So now that it is official, guys, what do you make of the hire?
Well, I hope he does a good job, because I think the first thing that I do when you hire somebody is I see how did their team do at whatever that guy's job was at the last spot, and the answer is not real well. You know, his job was passing game coordinator and secondary coach. And I go back to the same thing every time we talk about coaches. Tell me who they had to work with, and I'll tell you how they did. And he didn't have a lot to work with, and he did poorly in Atlanta when it came to defending the pass. So, you know, I'm not going to judge it. It's a guy that has a working relationship with your guys, and if they think that he is up to the task, then bring it on. But if you are, if they have massive failures this year, people will just look back and say, well, you hired a bad coach because his results in Atlanta last year were not good.
Yeah. I look at the situation in a way that, I was really critical of the way that these defensive players were being taught. And that's really my focus right now. I want to believe that the Cowboys can go and get better players. I want to believe that, you know, they've got a guy like Diggs, Wilson. They've got some guys that at least they could say, okay, we could use these. But they're going to go out and need to get more. Is that through veterans? Is that through the rookies? The draft? I think the real key here will be, how does Joe Witt come in here and handle those guys, whether it's the veterans or it's the rookies? And, you know, my guys have told me he's an extremely hard worker. He's prepared. He will help Dan. Dan is a defensive line coach by trade. So Joe will help him with the back end. But, you know, there are some questions about how that group really played. And, you know, how did the young players perform in Atlanta? And, you know, I'm all about the development. I think our show is about the development. You know, we don't want to see guys out there that, you know, that we feel like, man, this guy's got a chance. He flashes. Well, why isn't he playing better? Well, the coaches are holding him back, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think that this is either going to work or not work because of how you're going to develop young players, because this secondary is going to be young. And if Joe comes in here and does a poor job with that, with communication, with teaching, and understanding, we're going to fall back to what we saw last time. But I'm willing to say, just talking to people in Atlanta, that he is going to be ready to coach, and he's going to rally those guys in the room. Let's see if he can rally them to the point where they play much better on the field.
Does he have a reputation with working good with young players or veteran players better?
Well, it's, you know, if you look at, you know, Atlanta, their situation, they had young players, you know, and how. You know, how are they? I'm not going to sit and act like I know what's going on in Atlanta. I've watched their team play. I want to believe that they had a group of veteran guys that they kind of leaned on. Did those veteran guys let them down? Did the young guys develop? I mean, what about the corners? I mean, they were bad really on both sides last year. I mean, they threw some young guys out there, and it didn't really work out all that great for him. And so that's it's not only on the players, but the coach has to accept, hey, I've got young guys. I've got to try and train them the best I can. That's got to be your hope here with him coming in.
The AutoFlex Leasing fan text is open if you'd like to interact at 877-881-1053. Let me pop this bad boy open. Leave your name and city you're texting from. We can make you famous right here in the G-Bag Nation. You could build yourself a brand right here on the fan text. It's happened in sports radio, you know, all the way back in the day of phone calls, fax machine. That was big in the day of sports radio. People put their signature right on that bad boy. Next thing you know, they're famous across that metropolitan area. So let's do it, you know.
People used to fax in to a radio show.
Yeah.
A guy is hosting the show and he's got it next to him. You just hear...
I think it'd be
out
in the producer's room. Okay. Yeah, but that thing would be cranking nonstop, and the producer would review the faxes and then bring them into the host, you know, and then came email and, like, instant feedback type of stuff on online and stuff. Now it's easier than ever with text, or you can just interact with Jeff right there on the Twitch interface, you know. He's sitting there. Yeah, he's there at times, from time to time. You can call it nepotism if you want, I'm going to choose to be optimistic about it, because what Mike's been stressing whenever he talks defense is takeaways. And, the Cowboys made strides in the takeaway department last year. Mike was talking about it almost every week after the game, and I think Joe's going to build on it. In 7 of his 10 seasons with McCarthy and the Packers, they finished in the top 10 in interceptions 7 times, 7 out of 10. The Browns were 8th in picks in 2019. And, yeah, last year Atlanta's overall defense wasn't great, but they were about middle of the road. So I think this emphasis on takeaways is what Mike McCarthy liked about him. Dan Quinn liked him too. And that's good enough for me if you get, you know, several people vouching. Look, I know it'd be ideal if they just did a full search and found the best qualified candidate with no bias towards anything. Who's a friend, who likes him, and all that. I don't know if that's possible, you know, to get a guy that nobody in the entire building knows. This is realistic. And it's a guy who's, had success working with the guys that are here already. So, you know, the morning news put it as it'll improve staff cohesion. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but I think you have guys that have worked together before and have good chemistry and are going to feel more as together as one unit is sort of the company line there that that Gelkin is reporting for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously somebody in the organization telling Michael that's the case, that they feel like that maybe they'll have a little bit smoother path in meetings and on the field and communication and stuff like that. But yeah, that's, you know, we the turnovers, I think that's a great point, General. I also feel like, though, that, you know, I liked what I heard about the hard working aspect, the preparation of it, you know. And you know, let's be honest, you know, Al Harris was a player for a long time. Has he been a coach for a long time? No. You know, Maurice Lindquist, has he been a coach for a long time? Yeah. NFL coach for a long time? No, not at all. You know, I think there was some real problems between coaches and players last year when it came to communication. When it came to, you know, and let's be honest. I think even when Brandon Carr walked out of here, he was like, "Huh, wow. Okay, good luck.
Hello,
yeah, good luck." You know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, I just feel like, though, that if you get some guys that communicate and can teach, then you know you're on the way to playing better defense.
Right on. Well, that is great insight indeed. And there's no doubt this staff will be an improvement upon last year's, right? Is it going to be a really good coaching staff? We don't know. Will it be good enough to generate a really good defense without personnel? No. I think we're all in agreement. That does not exist. We saw it this year with Belichick on both sides of the ball. Defense was moving on in free agency and sitting out due to COVID. Tom Brady's out, and all of a sudden an incredible run comes to an end. And it wasn't even close. And, you know, we've seen plenty of coaches try to get it done. Dan Quinn's a perfect example himself. Great job in Seattle. Got the 2 Super Bowls. Couldn't get a defense together at all in Atlanta. So I think this is going to be on the front office, you know. And that's kind of one of my things that kind of jams me up after games and on Cowboys Mondays and in the postgame listening to the calls is how quickly we want to blame the coaches when it's really the front office. Get them better players. or injury, bad luck.
They've had some success with drafts, and I feel like though that there's did they waste Awuzie? Did they waste Jordan Lewis? No, did they waste some guys? You know, I mean,
talented guys coming out of college.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You wonder, is it did they draft the right guys, or did the coaching staff fail in developing those guys? You know, and I trust me, I've talked to coaches that have said, listen, you could blame the players all you want, but as coaches, we got to do a better job.
Okay, I totally get that angle, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. Are you developing the guys around the calendar? But, you know, and sure, game management can be a part of it, but more often than not, like, your problems are with the players not being good enough.
Yeah.
And your front office deciding a guy who's unfit for the job deserves $10 million.
Yeah, if you want to say that, I can't fight you on that.
I think a lot of people got to fail for a football team to lose a lot of games, but I guess my point is so often we put, to me, too much emphasis on the coaches. Maybe not blaming the coaches was a bad take, so thanks for helping me refine that take, Brian.
I just feel like, though, to me, that even when you have coaches that have admitted to me that, hey, we didn't do a very good job. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't do a very good job. And, you know, and it's not, you know, they can very easily, because I've been with coaches that say, listen, if you'd bring us better players, we wouldn't be in this situation. And I'm saying, well, if you could get us off the field on third down, we wouldn't be in this situation either. You know, wow. And so, yeah, but when coaches admit to me that, hey, we have some shortcomings here, and the players do have shortcomings themselves. Obviously, you know, Cheeto, is he good enough? Probably not. Is Jordan Lewis good enough? Probably not. You know, that's kind of where they're at right now. Is Jalen Smith good enough? Probably not. So that's where they're at right now. And that you could pin on the front office if you want.
All righty. 254, would bringing back Chris Richard be a thought with his Seahawks connection to Dan Quinn? That's Kevin in West Texas. They consider that at all?
No, not at all. I think what's going to happen is Lindquist is going to be shown the door. My college guys are telling me he's already trying to reach out, find a job in college again. So I have a feeling what's going to happen is Witt's going to come in with Al Harris, and they're going to run the secondary.
Hmm. Okay. All right. 214, when do we start saying Will McClay is overrated? I don't think ever. You know, no personnel guy is going to be perfect. He's got a lot of success on his resume, though.
Had a bad pro season. He'll admit it. He'll tell you, man, we were not good enough. The Robert Quinn trade was a stroke of genius. But last year's free agent haul of the, you know, bottom fishing guys, that's an F right there for those guys.
Yeah, that was tough. And you take the L for that year.
He does.
You know, I think, but over his tenure, the worst it's gotten is when you had horrible injury situations at quarterback. And every other year, they've really appeared to have figured out how to put enough players in there to be very competitive and often win the division during Will McClay's run.
He has had a difficult job because he has to manage the Joneses and the coaching staff and the scouts. That's a very difficult job. It's not like he gets to sit there and say, listen, all you guys shut up. I'm going to do what I want to do. He has people that are constantly knocking on his door telling him that the other group is full of you know what.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Massaging all those different perspectives when you're not the true authority.
Yeah, and I'll be critical of Will, and he expects that when, you know, he thinks we're fair about the criticism of him. You know, when they're not good, that's on him. That's the only thing. As a personnel guy, if your team sucks, that's on you. You know, that's how you have to look at it.
Okay, Ivan in Dallas pointing out Keanu Neal had a good season in Atlanta. Tremont Williams and Sam Shields developed nicely in Green Bay. Yeah, there's players, there's undrafted free agents that, you know, were part of successful secondaries with the Packers and, you know, young guys that developed. So we shall see indeed. It is a Mavs game night. Go ahead and get excited and believe about seeing Porzingis back in action tonight. Shoot, yeah, buddy. This is what basketball fans dream of. You will not, however, be seeing Jalen Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Maxi Kleba, Dwight Powell, and Josh Richardson. That's five pretty big names to be missing. They're different COVID protocols. But the Mavs going in with a three-game winning streak. Charlotte pretty good. They're above 500 as well. LaMelo Ball, a nice player. Terry Rozier, the former Celtics sixth man.
Scary Terry.
A nice player. And, you know, obviously the Hornets beat the Mavs about 10 days or so ago. So it's not going to be easy, especially missing all of those guys and hitting the road and all that. But, Yeah, yeah, it's a Mavs game night, and Luka and Porzingis. Hell, as long as they score big, I'm going to be entertained and just tickled to death seeing those two run around out there.
I just can't get comfortable with Gordon Hayward being the best player on a team. So, I've made a rule: you're not allowed to lose to the Hornets. That rule stands.
Okay.
If you do, I think about your team in a very negative light for 3 to 5 days following that. You're going to want to even shorthanded. You don't want to lose to a Gordon Hayward-led team.
Yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
He played poorly when they last met, so maybe you're onto something, Jeff. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't very good, but his teammates sure picked him up that night.
Well, when your team in the offseason is like, guys, we got to get better. What can we do? It's like, well, nobody wants to come here. What about giving a butt ton of money to Gordon
Hayward? Give $120 million.
Yeah, nobody else is offering him that. Yeah, I bet he'll take it. And it's like, all right, let's do that. No, you got to beat that team. It'll be fun to watch LaMelo.
Looking at them on paper, they are not very impressive. So I'm not ruling out a Mavericks victory at all tonight, although the COVID concerns and the handicap is legit.
High-energy team is what Rick would say about Charlotte.
Okay.
Yeah. High-energy says in the last time out, they didn't match that. And he says, hey, if we don't match their energy, then we're probably going to lose here.
And LaMelo Ball, you know, this guy can get after it athletically. He's a lot closer to Lonzo than I thought he was going to be. You know, we kind of lost contact with him when he was doing his European tour and getting ready for the NBA and all that. But I think he's worth the price of admission. That is a really good, well-rounded young basketball player, and that's going to be fun. And, yeah, he's more of an athlete. He was like a doughy teenager. It's always crazy how people can mature. And now he looks like he's got the strong jawline and everything. He's like, he's all manned up now. James Harden, he's been manned up. He's kind of on the doughy side himself now. He's going dad bod at 31 years old. Addressed the media after reports had emerged over the weekend that the Rockets believe they could weather the storm and get through the season. And James said, look, I love the city. I've done everything I can. I mean, this situation is crazy, and it's something that I don't think can be fixed. He said the team is just not good enough and would prefer to play somewhere they can contend. It's such a tough situation because if you're looking to trade for him, you'd say, man, this guy's competes are just getting flushed. I need to know a lot more about his perspective on why things have become so bad because they're still a good roster. They're very good. They're good enough to win 50, 55 games. If it was a regular season, I think they're good enough to reach the conference finals. And there's players around the league in similar situations who are saying, no, we're staying locked in on this. I think he's just decided he wants to go somewhere else. So is fitting all of the details and all of the variables into that narrative. And you have to respect his decision. Ultimately, I think if you're the Rockets, you know, at some point you have to cut bait and trade him. So that's what I expect. I just don't know how many other teams would be really excited to bring him in. You better feel like you're hardened away from contending because I'm not putting up with anything or the risk of putting up with anything and maybe having an untradeable asset on my hands. But I do it if I'm the Mavs, I do it if I'm the 76ers, and I do it if I'm the Nets because I feel like he is still so damn good. I would be willing to put up with it if I'm those teams.
Yeah, Morey knows the best about him. He's been with him. He's lived with him. Those are the experiences he's had. And you know what? If he moved on from Ben Simmons, I kind of feel like that everybody in Philadelphia would say, hey, good luck, Ben. You know, nice to have you here. Saw you're unfulfilled in your way you played. You know, I mean, I think there's some moves that Philadelphia could actually make that the fan base would be totally on board with bringing a guy like Harden back.
I hope he gets to Brooklyn. I love a good train wreck. There's nothing I like better than a good, talented train wreck.
So he is not with the team as these trade talks are going. It's probably one of those deals where maybe it's best just to lay low, because he's kind of embarrassing you when you're saying like, oh, yeah, we're going to make this work. He's like, no, we're not going to make this work. And he's not playing incredibly well. So maybe this will, pick up steam in the next 24, 48 hours. We'll have a trade. Apparently the Rockets are considering offers that are sitting on the table from the Nets and 76ers at the hour. Coming up next, of course, we got the G-Bag of the Day at 2:30. Cowboys Twitter. Tank haters might want to take some notes. Next in the Nation. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Let's take a look at some Cowboys Twitter. Tank haters, take note. Segment's brought to you by the Khan Academies. And it is brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. It starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin, Rubin & Associates at 1-800-LAWYERS. Yeah, David Moore wrote about Dan Quinn and what he brings to the Cowboys as defensive coordinator. And he tweeted, let's look beyond the cover three tendencies, beyond the scheme. He writes about Dan Quinn bringing a much more likable approach to the job. Quinn will be the cool dad defensive players love. Okay, I do think it's important for the newer generations to take a little bit of a softer approach. You know, that greatest World War II generation, you could cuss them up and down. They'd be like, yeah, I love it, man. Talk to me more like that. I'm going to go chew some nails and whoop some ass, boss. Oh, I love it. Yeah, be real mean to me. Kick oh, is that ass. All the insults you? I mean, but the new, I mean, it's been evolving that way. And Gen X, we were getting soft already. And then Z, and now the Zennials, they're down there playing football. And they really want to feel respected. You know, they want a lot more nice talk going on. And, boy, if you call somebody a name or call them out, they might really get offended, you know. So that's more important with today's players. It just seems weird to be, you know, talking about it that much. But apparently that was important for the team under Rod Marinelli. He was that guy for them. And the players loved it, and it was good for the culture. They're trying to get back to more of that, guys. What do you say?
Well, I think that's really, really important is are you able to both – garner respect and sort of admiration from your players. And you kind of alluded to it where it's like, if you have a coach that is a really good teacher and that people want to learn from and they gravitate towards and they respect the things that you're saying and they know that you know what you're talking about and I know that you have my best interests at heart. That's some of the things I've heard about Dan Quinn is that all the players tend to gravitate toward and like him. And if you have that, it's a nice little bonus. It's a lot easier to learn if you don't dislike the guy that you're learning from. If the guy is likable and a good teacher, and so that's what you hope you're getting.
You spend a lot of time getting frustrated with each other if the guy's a real jerk, putting out fires instead of teaching.
Yeah, I think the thing that's interesting is, and in my experience in athletics was always that, and a lot of kids come from split homes, don't have a dad. You know, a lot of these players, you know, were, you know, just mom only. And, you know, and they kind of gravitated towards a guy that would show them toughness, you know, that would get on them a little bit and all that. And I'm surprised that we're in a generation now where, and maybe it's not all of them, maybe not everybody has to feel, you know, loved and cared for and stuff. But like there are coaches I've been with that if you really got on a player, they responded in a good way because they'd never had that at home, and they you know, and they crave.
Maybe they did get it at home, and that's
their
language.
they crave that because mom was always working so hard. Maybe a couple of jobs. Maybe she wasn't around all the time. You're cooking your own meals. You know, you're doing your homework. You're going to school, whatever. But yeah, it was always funny when we would recruit these kids and like, well, you know, mom and dad, no, mom only. Mom, you know, mom only, you know, and that kind of thing. But when you watch them get coached, the harder you coached them, the better they responded. And so I have a feeling that the really good coaches can do both, can be a hard A and then also put their arm around him and give the kid a hug if it needs it. Yeah.
Boy, I know the players on my team that I can't yell at. And I know the ones that.
Do they just shrink?
Yes. There was a crying incident once with one of them, and I regretted that.
Sure.
But there's other players that are responding incredibly to it. Yeah. But I think you nailed it right there. As a coach, you have to be able to know what your players want, what your players need. Now we go to the account of Pro Football Focus Dallas Cowboys. DeMarcus Lawrence in 2020 is overall grade 88.6. That ranked fifth amongst the edges. Pass rush graded 85.7. It ranked eighth. The defensive stops, 36 of them. That ranked a tied for third. Why do you think it doesn't jump off the film as much? Are standards too high? Because he's running around playing really well. If you focus on him, you can see the offense really worried about what he's doing.
See, I think it does jump off. Right. I think when I watch the Cowboys, almost any time that you see a tackle for no gain or the quarterback rushed and has to throw it away or whatever, if you see a positive play, usually Tank Lawrence fingerprints are all over it. And I think that's why I get in fights with people. One, because I like to fight. And two, I'm easily drawn off sides by people texting in to troll. That's why I'm always getting in fights with people who pretend Tank Lawrence isn't really good at football. He's worth every penny of his contract.
Yeah, I wish, to be honest with you guys, I wish Game Pass was free for everybody. Just, you know, if you want to take the – I think the people that get to sit down and are interested in watching the game, maybe in a different light with the All-22, and not everybody can do it. Not everybody has the time to do it. But I wish it was free so people could watch Tank if they wanted to on a weekly basis and say, wow. And you don't need to be a scout to see it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
You can see when he's – knifing down inside, beating a block. You could see when he's taking a guy around the corner. You could see when he's taking on a double team and keeping leverage to the outside to allow Leighton Vander Esch to step up and make a play. You know, you can see those
things.
Well,
maybe not on the TV copy, or maybe the broadcasters don't talk about him enough, so it's not obvious enough for the fans. Maybe you got to put in a little bit of work to appreciate.
Yeah, no, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, listen, Game Pass is not for everybody, but it's a good way to learn about your football team if you're one of those types of people that really want to know. And the TV copy shows it, I think, but also the All-22 will show you a little bit more about these players that you might not know or get from the TV copy.
Getting some really interesting feedback from the Tolos out there on the coaches thing. 931 says you can be a hard A or a light A. Comes down to what Pat Summitt said. Players don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's cool.
That's
you know,
true.
If you're a player and you're like, wow, this guy really cares if I make it or not. There's something different in those words of advice. Moms are strict too, says the 440. That's why these kids made it into the NFL.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
940, I guess I'm old, 45. The best coach I ever had was Coach Dent and Euless. He earned respect through strength and even fear. Fear of getting cut. Appreciate all your thoughts there on the Autoflex Leasing Fantext. It's open for you. Time now for the G-Bag of the Day. And we go back into the Pimp Cup where our Lucius Alexander is standing by. Good afternoon, sir. How the hell are you?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
Come on, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to give a good one time. Big one time. For that all-black Dodge Ram that just moved into the neighborhood.
Okay.
It has a Texas G-Bag sticker on the back window. I seen that this morning.
All
yeah.
Right. You know who you are.
Yeah.
Is that SGP?
One time. What?
Grand Prairie?
Oh, no, no. I live in Las Colinas now. I live in Las Colinas now. Okay. Yeah. So, gotcha. Yeah, I see you, sir. Welcome to the neighborhood. If you have a pet, please pick up after your pet. We're having a problem in the neighborhood. Somebody went through and, like, spray-painted all the dookies.
Oh, no.
And then,
no.
And then they see the HOA had, like, signs everywhere. Pick up after your pet. And I was like, please. Please.
I love the black rims of the black truck.
Oh, yeah. It's all blacked out, man. With an old-school G-Bag sticker on a new truck. That confuses
me.
How did you, like, when did you get that sticker, bro?
Yeah.
Let's
see. Been saving it till you got a new truck?
That's what I'm saying. He's like, well, I can't wait to throw this on the Dodge. Coach Rick won from yesterday on a tight race.
Three times.
You know, those were two disjointed possessions. And as the best player on the floor, you know, he knew that he was the guy that needed to get the ball in the basket.
Mark?
No questions. Hey. No questions from Broadus tonight? I mean, I see Broadus sitting there. Holy
It's not the first time he's been on one of these Zooms, as a matter of fact. I've seen him a couple of times this week.
Yeah. Let's give Broadus a question if he wants one after this. Go ahead.
You tightened up a little bit, Broadus, when he said your name?
Oh, man, I tell you what.
Pucker up a little bit?
Oh, no, heart rate went.
You grabbed a seat?
Yeah, it was like my heart was in my throat. It was, you know, one of those, yeah, I couldn't talk.
Is your face on video, or is it just your name?
It's like how we're sitting right now.
Okay, it,
yeah,
so you're just
yeah,
kind of
all
like,
the,
oh,
all
God.
The, all the, yeah, everybody's lined up. And so, yeah, it's, yeah. The, and then you raise your hand when you want to ask a question. And the Mavs are super, super good at getting those. A lot better than that team I used to work for.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, shots fired. Yes, but accurate shots fired.
Very accurate.
You have the choice to make at that point. If you don't have a question in your mind, do you just try to make one up or wave?
No, I just gave him a thumbs up. It was a good, yeah, it was a nice win, man. They beat Denver. I'm like, hey, thumbs up.
Nice
good job.
And yeah. It's amazing to get recognized by Coach Carlisle there. And by the way, a coach who's cussing like a sailor up there on the podium this year. He's loose.
I love when my coach cussed.
Yeah.
Called me names and everything, bro. And I deserved it when he called me the name. I'm like, yeah, all right. You're right. You're right. I do need to catch the ball and stop looking at the girls. You're right. Correct.
Who's challenging Coach?
You want to hear some announcers make fun of James Harden?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they fat shaming, fam.
Let me just say this. I love those uniforms, by the way. I just want to talk about some aesthetics. James Harden definitely had a pregame meal, averaging 17 points per game over
hey,
the
man,
last
chill
four.
Chill. 17 points per game over the last four. Yeah, pregame.
Boogie Cousins might come to his house and whip his ass, by the way.
What's going on there? I saw John Wall was very disappointed in him.
Well, but John Wall played it very politically correct compared to Boogie today. They were like, you think James is going to be able to play here anymore? He's like, oh, I don't know, and honestly, I don't care. And then they were asking him about the disrespect Harden showed the team yesterday. He was like, shh. He said the disrespect started way before yesterday. Mm. I don't care.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Mm. Sometimes you need somebody willing to step up there and tell the truth. That's exactly what Boogie Cousins is doing. That continues on. I don't know how many teams are really going to want him. You know, you have to hope that
James Harden?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody will take him.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Well, take him. Just a matter of how much they'll give.
Yeah, how much they'll give and how confident they are that once he changes scenery, everything's going to be great. I'd be willing to bet on it. I'll do it for, you know, whatever team. It's like, shoot, yeah, let's give this a shot. If it doesn't work, we'll figure it out. But guess what? Nobody's beating the Lakers this year. Warriors are going to be back before too long. You see what Steph Curry's doing. We have a chance to get it now, though. If Harden comes here and says, all right, now that I'm out of Houston, it's time for Superman. No more fat Clark Kent. Who else is challenging, Lucius?
Bill Burr was on the Late Night Jimmy's show. Jimmy Fallon this time, one of the Late Night Jimmy's.
Okay.
Bill Burr has a bit on his podcast where he's like a life coach and people just ask him things about their life and he'll give them he'll give him the response or whatever. So Jimmy Fallon thought it'd be cool to put that little bit on his show while Bill Burr was on the show. And did it to one of the audience members.
Here we go. The first one says, I'm ready to take the next step with my boyfriend and move in together. But he says he can't because he's allergic to my cat. I love my cat. I can't get rid of her. What should I do?
Well, it's great that you love your cat because your boyfriend doesn't love you. All right? If he loved you, he would have moved in with you. When I met my wife, the woman of my dreams, if she had a cat and I was allergic to it, I would have figured something out. I wouldn't have been like, listen, you're the one for me. I think about you all the time, but you got a cat, so I think he's saying he enjoys having sex with you, but he doesn't want to go any further, so.
Good advice. Bill Burr. Yeah.
Observational impromptu genius right there.
Absolutely.
Very right.
And dead balls on.
Yeah.
You'll overlook a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That you realize like 10, 12 years later, like, what was I thinking? Yeah. I hate the way you brush your teeth.
Yeah, for my bad, that always gets caught on with over amount of time. I'm horrible at leaving the toothpaste in the sink. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like the dry toothpaste? Like
the dry toothpaste.
And everything?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
nasty.
You'll get some facial hair in there, so it's like a weird combination.
Yeah, that's nasty.
It looks horrible.
It does.
It drives women absolutely crazy.
Do you have your own bathroom? You need to rock your own bathroom.
Different sinks. Yeah, I don't have my own bathroom.
Nah, they take over the bathrooms anyway. Get your own, man.
Yeah. I'm happy to have my own corner. You know,
okay,
as long as she doesn't complain too much about the toothpaste residue. Is it Bill Burr on Jimmy Fallon? Is it the announcers fat-shaming James Harden? Or is it our three-time champ, Rick Carlisle? I'll vote for Rick again, Lucius. How about you?
Yeah, Rick.
It's 2-0, Brian.
How about Bill Burr today, please?
Yeah, I was going to vote for Bill Burr till Brian did. I'm not letting Brian lose this thing. It's Coach Carlisle. The respect that brought us.
Close call yesterday in the vote off, Lucius.
Hey, can we, okay, what's tomorrow, Thursday, right?
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow's
Yo,
tomorrow's
so tomorrow. Can we do like G-Bag of the Day starting like the G-Bag of the Year, I meant to say, starting Thursday and Friday?
That sounds
great. We put this one on pause?
Okay, yeah.
All right.
All right, so we'll pause.
For the whole show Thursday and Friday. We just do G-Bag of the Year.
Yeah, and just like, yeah, a think piece on every one.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Everybody gets a full segment.
Yeah, everybody gets their opinion each segment. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Take some calls.
Yeah, what do you think about that? The kid with the mustache.
G Bag of the Year starts tomorrow at 2:20 sharp. Okay, we're not doing any of this 2:30 stuff. We have about a dozen nominees to get to. We'll play them all, and Friday at 2:36, vote on the champ before we get to Brian's Sports Mix. Of course, coming up next is Brian brought us in his daily content. What's the subject today, sir?
Guys, there's a list that came out, and does CeeDee Lamb have a beef because he's not on it? We'll talk about that next.
Yeah, thank you, Lucius. It's time now for Brian brought us in his daily content, and here he is, brought us.
Thank you very much, General. Going through some things on the internet, getting ready for the show, and Jeff, one of our buddies, wrote a story for ESPN, Jeff Legwell.
Legs. What's your background now? What are you doing?
That's the first NFL draft. That's how it looked.
If you watch on 1053thefan.com or on
Twitch, I got a bunch of them
Dallas
today.
Fan Cam. Yeah. Brian's got a new background behind him because he got a green screen that he's obsessed with, and now it's a picture of an NFL draft where each table just has like a guy at it with the name of the team.
How do you like that, huh?
That's amazing.
They're standing, and they're, look, if you notice over my over the top of my head there, they're doing it on a chalkboard. They're writing the names on the chalkboard.
The draft is being done on a chalkboard.
How about that?
So, nobody sneeze.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to write it down after they fill the board. Yeah, it's like, hold on now. It's after the fourth round. We have to erase.
Okay,
you guys
Rams.
That down?
Rams, you're in the back of the room. Please yell. Who do you like? We're going to take Tank Younger. Yeah.
Exactly. Hold on. I got to run to the payphone.
They do. They have like a phone, but nobody's using the phone in front of them. It's funny. Wow. It's so I wish I could have drafted back then.
That's time for the 28th round, and Philadelphia has left. They've run out of names.
Hey, real quick story if I can. Well, this is my time. I could do what I want, right?
Wow.
My time.
Yeah.
It's my time, right?
Whatever the hell you want.
Okay, exactly. My time real quick. Dave Hoghanner, who was he worked for Vince Lombardi. He was an assistant on the great Packer teams in the 60s, and he was a great player at Green Bay as well. And Hog, they used to, when they had the draft, was 20 over 20 rounds. They did the draft during the season, and they were the Packers had to take the train to get to the West Coast, to so Hoggy couldn't miss the train. So they were the draft was going on. He left three names for the administrative assistants and told the ladies, if when it comes to our turn, pick one of these guys, is what they did. So he had to go get the train, and that's and so when they got down to like the 20th round, one of the administrative assistants for the Packers, she made the pick for that for the football team that day. So that just shows you how far the draft has come, where it's like, hey, I got to get the train. Well, here, pick one of these guys. Pick whoever you want out of this group. So pretty funny. Okay, but Legwell, Jeff Legwell. Jeff, one of our guys. We like Legwell.
Yeah, he's Denver. He covers Denver. He's
right.
A good man.
ESPN. He's a draft guy. But he did a thing. He wanted to know, how does this rookie class stack up? And so he took nine ESPN writers and analysts and ranked the top 10 rookies for the year. And so he said he tabulated this by using the Heisman-style scaling for each ranking, which gave us the overall list. And he said, to be clear, the voting was based on the regular season and playoff performance thus far was not factored into the ranking. Okay? So these are the top 10 according to ESPN and different guys with analysis, and maybe some ladies too. At number 10, they have Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, poor CD.
Okay. 62 receptions, 873 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 rushing TDs. He was drafted 49th overall. And so as we know, though, as the season wore on, Claypool was still the only Steeler to catch more than 40 passes and average more than 10.5 yards per catch. He finished the regular season at 14.1. His 9 receiving touchdowns, 7 which came by week 10, also tied for the team lead. So he was number 10. At number 9, Antoine Winfield Jr. of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, let's get these tiny safeties. Don't worry about if they're short. It's cool.
He was selected 45th overall. Winfield finished the season with two 10-game tackles, games where he had 10 tackles in the games. Played at least 97% of the team's snaps in 15 games, including the wild card game win over Washington. He knocked down 6 passes, forced 2 fumbles, and had 4 quarterback hits on the season. Jeffrey, that right there. That kid should have gone a lot higher than 45 overall, right?
He was 5'10", Brian. I blame you. This is your people. This is Krusty. Krusty was hating on our guy for being short.
The guy's a heck of a player, though.
He is.
I mean,
we're coming around, though. The NFL's coming around.
I think the height
doesn't hurt you on the field, they'll start ignoring it.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think that the measurables are starting. You know, the Krustys were all like, hey, we'd never draft a guy like this. But he's the shorter guys are doing a great job. Okay, number 8 is James Robinson, the running back from Jacksonville. He went undrafted, by the way. That's to your guy's point. Hey, the best running backs, maybe we don't even have to, you don't have to even use a draft pick on these guys. They're out there for the taking. So he was the only player that was undrafted to make this top 10 list. And he carried the ball more than 202 times. The next active Jaguar running back was 4th on the team in catches and then led the Jaguars in scoring.
Do you have a good idea, Jeff, in your mind, like if you took a good running situation, how many running backs that are coming into the NFL would be what you would consider solid production in that role? All the way down to the undrafted guys, because there are a lot of busts at running back. I don't want to make it sound easy to do this. Do you have a good idea in your mind what the percentage of running backs coming into the NFL that could have success in a good spot would be?
All I know for sure is there is, I think it's the one position in the league where there's literally a surplus of capable people where there's enough guys that could get the job done to a similar level or a replacement level. There are enough guys out there to put three dudes on every team. So, you know, like everything else, right? It's just a matter of balance. How much better do I think this guy is than someone who can just get the job done, and how much is it worth in terms of draft pick or money or whatever to have whatever little percentage increase that is. And to me, it's a small enough amount that I'd pretty much ignore it.
Yeah. I you guys have got me coming around on these running backs, by the way. Seriously.
Do you agree that there's 96 good running backs out there?
I do believe that. I'm not going to say 96, but I'm going to think there is enough where people are not good. You know, if you have a plan for them and have an understanding of how you want to use them, you could find the right guy, because they do become in all shapes and sizes and all different abilities as well. So I think you could find a guy to fit your scheme if you absolutely have to. At number seven was quarterback Joe Burrow of Cincinnati. He was the number one overall pick. He played 10 games before suffering a season-ending knee injury, but was still the first rookie to have three consecutive 300-yard passing games. So he had five. Matter of fact, he had five in those 10 games. So Joe Burrow of Cincinnati Bengals is number seven on this list. Here's a running back. Jonathan Taylor with the Indianapolis Colts is number six. He had 232 carries for 1,169 yards and 11 touchdowns. He also had 36 receptions for 299 yards and one TD. He was drafted 41st overall.
That's a dude that's used to touching the ball a lot. If you're a Wisconsin guy, you're used to touching the ball a lot. No problem.
Used to taking a pounding, too. That's what happens with Wisconsin. Okay, Jeffrey, Jeremy Chinn. He was
Southern Illinois.
Right. He finished the season. He's a Carolina Panthers safety. He was drafted 64th overall. There's a safety you could have grabbed right there. 117 tackles, one interception, one sack, two forced fumbles, two TDs for touchdowns himself. So he's getting some consideration for the potential for defensive rookie of the year. So, you know, then that tape was not hard to watch. You could have seen him out there play.
Well, and that's why they say the draft starts in Mobile, right?
Yep.
That's some of these small school guys get invited to the Senior Bowl, and then when you see, oh my goodness, they are not overmatched by these dudes from fill in your Power 5 school, and NFL teams go, okay, real deal. Yeah,
you're absolutely right about that. At number four was Tristan Wirfs, the tackle from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He's a stud.
89% pass block win rate in 16 starts. He was picked 13 overall. General, I thought this guy was Walter Jones coming out. You would know him from being up in that the great Northwest.
Yeah, one of the great offensive
linemen. I thought this guy, when he coming out, he was going to be Walter Jones. I think he's well on his way to having that kind of career. At number three was Chase Young, the defensive end from the Washington football team. 44 tackles, 7.5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 1 touchdown. The second overall for him. He also had 10 tackles for loss and 12 quarterback hits. And so he was number three on this list. Number two, Justin Jefferson, wide receiver, the Minnesota Vikings.
I just can't let receivers have anything, can they? Always got to give quarterbacks number one.
Got to give quarterback number one. 88 receptions, 1,400 yards, 7 TDs. He was selected 22nd overall. And at number one, Justin Herbert, quarterback from the Los Angeles Chargers. 4,336 yards, 66% completion rate, 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Okay, now CeeDee not on that list? Right. But, okay, do you feel like, though, that if CeeDee would have been able to play with Dak Prescott the entire season, I'm not saying he's going to be on the list.
Easily he would have been on the list.
But does he get all the way to where Justin Jefferson, does he have 88 receptions, 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns, and those kinds of things on this list?
Probably. probably not the 1,400. That's a really big number. And in Minnesota, you're splitting it. Really, it's kind of Jefferson and Thielen. And here, you're splitting it with three guys at receiver. And I bet the Cowboys' tight ends had bigger numbers than in Minnesota. So I won't say 1,400, but easily well over 1,000. And he's easily on that list. He could have made that list over Claypool. Anyway.
That's what I was saying. I mean, the having Claypool on that list, I think, is...
See, he had more catches, more yards, higher catch percentage. He just didn't have the touchdowns because Claypool had that four-touchdown game or whatever. And CD ran for 82 yards. 8.2 a pop. Hand the ball to receivers. It's the new plan.
Yeah, I just felt like that CD kind of got worked on this list. He was a much better player than Claypool, but I wanted to know if he could be just as good as Jefferson, being that he was the second guy overall. I think if he's played with Prescott, there's going to be some neck and neck right there between those two.
Very good. Brian brought us in this daily content. A must listen every day at 2:40 here in the Nation. If you miss it, go back with the radio.com app to the beginning of any segment, any hour of the broadcast day, and pick up right there, radio.com app. It's amazing. Coming up next, the 3 o'clock hour, something I brought up late last night on the show. I thought it was a throwaway, actually a topic. What do you think about that all-pro safety finally coming on over to his favorite team? It's next in the Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.